Impact, a continuing series of talks based on modern and ancient wisdom. And here is our host, Dr. Anil Mehta, at the Bakersfield Chinmaya Mission.
So today we shall talk about a subject which is very alien to the Western view of thinking. In the East, the concept of the guru is fairly well accepted. Not that everybody has a guru or goes searching for a guru, but from time immemorial it has been ingrained in us, or we have been told that one must have a guru for spiritual progress. Every spiritual aspirant must have a guru. But here in the West, that concept is not widespread, it's not accepted. And there may be many reasons. One is, you know, the independent thinking. In the West, people tend to think more independent, or they think that they think independent. But we are conditioned by so many ideas that we really are not, but we think we are. The other problem, of course, that there have been scandals from time to time of by various, you know, cult leaders and things like that, and then some of the spirit, when we hear about different scandals, and so we think that, you know, one should be very careful of religious people because you don't know what may happen. But the fact is, just because a few doctors' name appear in the paper does not mean all doctors are bad. Just because a few business people may be corrupt and get caught does not mean every business person is corrupt. Just because a few priests or monks or, you know, may commit some faults because everybody's human does not mean the great majority of the people who are on the spiritual path and whom I have had the good fortune to meet have been very dedicated, very determined, very giving, very unselfish people. It is not easy to give up your home and your family and your job and your career and your profession. You know, a lot of the Swamis that I have met in the Chinmaya Mission are all graduates. They are computer, you know, they're computer engineers, or they have done masters or PhDs, and so they are very, very qualified, and they have given up their career, their home, their family, their money, everything, just to serve the mission and to evolve themselves. And, you know, the main purpose of a spiritual seeker is self-evolution, but along the process, he or she serves others and teaches others so that he or she may evolve by service. And whatever little I know of spirituality has been with the grace of my guru, of course, Swami Chinmayananda, who was the founder of the mission, and then other teachers like Swami Ishwarananda and others who have come periodically, who still come every two or three, every month or every other month. We have teachers here who come and give talks, and whatever little I share with you, I have learned from them. So in this world, we have various kind of teachers. Of course, the first teachers are our parents. You know, from childhood, you know, they, besides giving us birth, they, you know, our mother teaches us how to walk, how to talk, how to dress. So whatever I am is because of my parents. The fact that I am on this earth and whatever knowledge I have, it started all with the parents. So in my opinion, you may say, well, it was the parents' duty to take care of the children. But even so, there is such a debt of gratitude that we owe to our parents, you know, for giving us birth, for going through all the sufferings of, you know, little childhood and staying awake and taking care of us and all that. No matter how hard you try, you can never repay the debt that you owe your parents. So if I take care of my parents, I'm not doing them a favor, I'm doing a duty. Because just as when I was little, they wiped my tears. I have to make sure that the tears don't even appear in their eyes. They should not have the slightest trace of sorrow. So it is my duty to take care of my parents because they are our first gurus. Then, of course, we go through school and college, and, you know, we learn from our math and chemistry and biology and calculus and engineering or medicine or science or computers, whatever, in the university. So those teachers are also necessary. You know, one cannot learn by oneself. You may say, well, I can read in the books. You cannot. You cannot read all the books of medicine and read the books of surgery and then say, okay, I've read all the books, I passed the exam, tomorrow I'm going to cut open a patient's stomach. You're going to be utter failure. You have to work under the supervision of a senior surgeon who will show you where to cut, how to stop the bleeding, you know, how to find the organs. No matter how much you have read, when you're faced with a live individual, it's a different story. And so you have to learn under the supervision of a surgeon. Same way a computer programmer or an engineer who wants to build a dam, or he cannot do it on his own. He works under a senior engineer, otherwise the dam will be a failure. So in the material world, we say, yeah, you know, I need a teacher. I need, when I go out to play golf, I don't say I've read all the books of golf. I watched the videos of Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus and Arnold Palmer. Now I'm ready to play golf. No, as soon as I get to the golf course, I look for a lesson. I have to have a pro to teach me how to hold the stick, how to hold my shoulders, my legs, how to swing, how to putt. So there is so much to be learned in the world. And for whatever you learn in the world, a teacher is necessary. Even I'm learning to ride a bike, somebody has to hold me, the back of my bike. And, you know, when we were little, we learned how to ride. Somebody had to teach us. But in the spiritual world, I don't need a guru. I can read the books, you know. And somebody asked Swami Tejomayananda, the head of our mission, do I need a guru? Why can't I read from the books? So Swamiji said, okay, why don't you go and ask this question to the book? Do I need a guru? The book is not going to answer. The book only has what it has. Secondly, the book was written by a guru, whether it's Eckhart Tolle or whether it's some Chinese philosopher, maybe who passed away 500 or 1,000 years ago. But the books were written by live human beings. So the fact is that on the spiritual path, we are faced with a lot of questions, a lot of obstacles, a lot of problems. And books can answer them, but still, we have to have a teacher who knows us, who knows the level where we are at, just as a math teacher knows whether she's talking to a sixth grade math student or a kindergarten math student or a PhD math student. The answer will be different. The same question when asked at three levels. So same way, the guru knows what level we are at and can answer our questions and our doubts. So guru, the word gu means darkness, and ru means removes. So guru removes the darkness of ignorance. Because we may know everything about the world. I may know math, I may know computers, I may know finance, I may have a lot of money, I may know how to drive a car, how to operate a machinery. But I really don't know who I am. My only knowledge about myself is this body, this ego, that I am this individuality. I am Anil, I am Christina, I am Al, I am a male or a female, I am a young or old, I am a doctor or an engineer or a teacher or housewife. But these are the roles that we play. This is the part that has been assigned to me. This body is just a pair of clothes that I am wearing, just as I am wearing these clothes, and at the end of the day, I will discard them and tomorrow put on a clean pair of clothes. So similarly, this body is a clothes that I'm wearing. At the end of this life, I will discard this and take on a new body. So who am I? Am I really this body? Am I really this ego? And that is the ignorance. And that is not only the ignorance from now, but if you believe in rebirths, it is since time immemorial, since I was a little insect. I was crawling around looking for happiness in the gutter. And then I became a cat or a dog or a fish. And and then a human, and we are always looking for things in this world because this world is the only thing that we know. But the scriptures tell us that there is a much higher world, which is described in all the scriptures. They talk about heaven, they talk about the world of God, where Jesus is or where Allah is, you know, so all scriptures talk about that. So what is that world? Who is this God? What is my relationship to him? How can I reach him? How can I know him? That is the ignorance that a guru gives us. And in my mind, that is the only thing that is to be known in this life. The main purpose of human birth is self-realization, God-realization, reaching God or knowing God and becoming one with him. Because once you know him, you disappear in him. You cannot know him as an object. Just as there was a great saint who gives the example, he says, like a salt dog, when she tries to discover the depth of the ocean, how deep is the ocean, the salt doll is put in the ocean, the doll disappears and becomes one with the ocean and understands, I am the ocean, and then it knows how deep the ocean is. As long as she is separate, she cannot determine the depth of the ocean. So I cannot know God's nature until I become one with him. One with him doesn't mean I have to die or I have to disappear, but my sense of separation, my sense of individuality, my sense of that he and I are separate has to disappear, and then only God realization occurs. So he is the light of knowledge, as I said. When there is darkness in this room and we put on the lights and then everything becomes clear. So similarly, there is a darkness of ignorance in my mind, and it is that light of knowledge that the guru illumines for us. And then we said he changes the direction of our life. As I mentioned earlier, our life has always been geared to looking outwards, for looking happiness in the world of objects, emotions and thoughts, in the happiness in the people. But once we turn our attention inward to the Lord's presence within, or if you don't want to say Lord within, then the Lord that is everywhere. Right now I'm only looking in things. But once you turn the direction of your mind away from objects, emotions and thoughts towards that God, you can think of him as the God in my heart, or you can think of him as the God in the temple or the church or the mosque, or the one who is in all the heavens and one who illumines the sun and the moon and the stars and makes the plants grow and the trees grow and the fish swim and the birds fly. Whatever is happening because of that wonderful reality. So change the direction of your thoughts. Change the direction of your thoughts. We have spent so much of our life only looking at things and beings and objects. That's okay. Yeah, we have to earn a living. We have to go to work. We have to take care of our family and children. We're not saying that. But at least a part of your life should be spent in searching for him, the one who is my creator, who has given me everything I have, who is inside me as the life. Who is he? How can I know him? So in meditation, or when you go to the church or temple to pray, turn inward and feel his presence inside as the life. And the guru is the one that gives us the knowledge to change the direction of your thoughts, change the direction of your efforts. And as you become more evolved in this field, you can spend more and more time, because you will start getting the true joy of reaching him, of knowing him, of coming closer to him, because he is the source of all the joy, all the beauty, all the love, compassion, everything is him. And as you spend more time, you will start enjoying this. And especially as your family responsibilities get less and things are as getting, worldly-wise, your needs after a while are, reasonably met, then one can do more. Or as one sees the benefit of this path, there are some people at a very young age, they decided to take the path of spirituality because being smarter than the rest of us, they very quickly realized that this path of the world is not going to give me anything. There was a young boy who was only 6 years old and he decided to give up everything and go search for the highest truth. And the entire Upanishad, Kathopanishad, is based on his search, how he meets a teacher and asks, a six-year-old boy. So it says, change the direction. And for that, you need a guru. Then it says, the guru mobilizes the inner strength. Each one of us has infinite strength, infinite wisdom, infinite knowledge, infinite bliss, infinite joy. We are a fountain of joy. We are a spring of joy, of peace, of happiness. But not realizing it, we make ourselves miserable and say, just because this person didn't say hi to me today, I am miserable. Or this person didn't smile at me, or this person didn't talk to me well, or this person didn't give me that, or I did so much for this person didn't even say thank you, no gratitude. And so we make ourselves miserable. They say you have everything within you, and that inner strength is awakened by the guru. It's a very beautiful story I heard recently. There was this king who had this very dedicated elephant. It was the king's personal elephant. And every battle the king went in, he rode on this elephant. The elephant was brave. He would take the king right into the heart of the battle. And the king won so many battles and was so successful, became a very mighty, mighty king, emperor of the whole area. And ultimately the elephant got old and was retired. He was too old to go into the battle, but because he was the king's elephant, he was well taken care of. He had a nice house and best food and servants to wash him and take care of him. So one day the servants were taking him to the river to take a bath, and it so happened that it had rained that day, and that area was very mucky, and one particular area was particularly slippery and almost like quicksand. And the elephant happened to step in that. And as he stepped, he went deeper and he couldn't get out. And that mud was slippery and he started slipping into the water half in and half out. And the more he struggled, the more he was so heavy. He was going deeper and deeper. And he didn't have that strength that he had when he was younger. And the people were trying to, they tied ropes around his leg and around his neck, and they were trying to pull him out with chains, and nothing was happening, and that elephant was going deeper. And everybody was worried, the king's dear elephant is going to die. And the king himself came and couldn't do anything. All the soldiers and everybody was there. Finally, the old prime minister came, and we sometimes think old people, they are the past. But there is something to be said for wisdom. And this prime minister was very wise. He said, stop pulling. So they said, okay. He said, I'll get him out. So they said, okay. So he said, go bring some drums and bring some bugles. What? Bring drums and bugles? Are you going to get him out? They thought, this is getting Alzheimer's. Maybe he doesn't know. So he said, no, go bring them. So they brought the drums and the bugles and all the, lot of the instruments, musical. And he said, start beating the drums and bugles like you are at war. In the olden days, in the war, they used to beat the bugles and bang the drums to kind of get the army excited. So they started making a loud noise as if they are going to war. And the elephant heard and said, oh my God, I'm going to war. And through his whole life, he had been going to the war, to the battlefield. So he immediately got the courage. He said, come on, I have to go fight. I have to take the king. And so with that courage, with that strength, gave him the strength to come out. So he always had that strength within him. He had that power, but it was hidden because of he's thinking that I'm old. So the guru is like that. He gives us, he does not give us strength. He just mobilizes our strength. He does not give us knowledge. He just reminds us that you are knowledge. You are all complete. You are all bliss. You are all perfect. Each and every one of you is a perfect creation of the Lord. Nobody is incomplete. Nobody is imperfect. So he just reminds us of who we are, reminds us and gives us the strength. That's what Eckhart Tolle says. I'm not going to tell you anything new. I'm here just to remind you of what you already know, but you have forgotten. So the scriptures are meant for that, to tell us who we are and that we are all perfect. Then it says the guru is meant to get us out of attachments. And attachments, people a lot of times ask, you know, does that mean I should not love anybody? Does that mean I should not have? No, we have to have our duties to our families, our children, our spouse, our parents. And one must have love for them. And one must have perform one's duty with love, with devotion, not only as a duty, but out of pure, total love. But attachment comes when one becomes so dependent on that one object or one person or that one thing that without this particular thing, my life is useless. And when that thing is gone, then I am gone. You know, and we find people commit suicide when they either lose their spouse or somebody they love and doesn't return their love, or they, you know, they shoot themselves. Or they lost their money in the stock market, you know, and people say, I'm useless. Well, yeah, you lost all your money, but you still have your body, you have your intelligence, you have all your abilities, you earned the money one time, why can't you do it again? So this dependence on objects and things is removed by the guru. And we see how these people who have left their world and their dependence on things, and they are on the spiritual journey, and how happy they are. And how successful they are. So by example, by their teachings, they slowly free us of our dependence on things and beings. So at least I personally feel that whatever I, little bit of spiritual progress I have made, or at least this little thoughts or little direction that I have given to my life is because of the guru. And one has to have a guru, one has to have a teacher, one has to have somebody who can guide one and take one up further. And preferably has to be a living person, because you can interact with that person, you can ask questions, you can clear your doubts, and that person can be your support at the time when there's suffering, when there is problems. And then, of course, the last question is how to find a guru. You know, and people say there are all kinds of corrupt people, and which is true. Not everybody on the spiritual path is an enlightened master. And they say guru should have two qualities. One is should have knowledge and the ability to teach. That is number one, should have the knowledge. And the second, should have a personal experience. Should have spiritually evolved where he is very close or has reached that highest experience of oneness with the self. So knowledge and experience are both necessary for a spiritual guru. So there are a lot of people who can recite the scriptures, who might have memorized several portions of the Bible or the Upanishads and can chant the mantras and do a lot of things. But do they have the experience? Have they seen the self? Have they known that? So people say, gurus are very hard to find. How should I find one? So what the scripture says is that you should go out and have a strong desire that I need to meet a guru, I need to reach a guru, I need to find one. And secondly, as I am studying and as I am on the spiritual path, I may meet many other spiritual masters and teachers, and let me take advantage if I have the opportunity to listen to some saintly people or to interact with them. Let me take advantage of the opportunity. Let me learn from them. And let me have the inner thirst, the inner desire, the inner hunger that I need to meet a guru. And they say the guru will appear in your life. If your desire is strong enough, if you have the will, then... Because even the guru is looking for good students. A person who has knowledge to share, he is looking for deserving students to whom he or she can give it. Because this guru has learned from his teacher. And how does he repay the debt? By teaching others. So I cannot repay my guru's debt to him because, you know, maybe the guru may have passed away. But by sharing the knowledge with others, I can repay. Or ultimately, they say the highest guru is the Lord himself. Because it is from God that everything emerged. Say from God came Jesus, and then came the apostles, and then came the saints, and all the, you know, the people who wrote the Old Testament and New Testament and everything. But ultimately, the guru is him. So that is the final guru. But I think if the desire is strong, if the goal is clear, I say just keep on working, keep on reading, keep on meeting with saints, keep on asking questions, and ultimately the guru will appear, and then only, in my opinion, the spiritual journey can only be complete in the presence of a guru. Without that, it is very, very difficult or very impossible. Yeah. There were a few rare examples, you know, of people who were by age 5 or 6 or 7 who were so evolved, like Raman Maharishi was a saint in India. He had no guru. By age 7, he was already going into deep meditation where he could shut down his heart and lungs and blood pressure and become dead. And he could do that. He could shut down. But he must have done so much sadhana, so much spiritual in his previous birth that he didn't need it. He was already realized master by when he was born. And we have examples of that. But for the great majority of us who are on the spiritual path, in my opinion, a guru is necessary, even though that is not very easily accepted in the West. But in the East, at least we grew up with the idea that search for a guru. Not everybody, of course, majority of the people there are also involved in materialism and corruption and, you know, things. I'm not saying that everybody in India is an evolved soul, but at least the thought is there in our mind that a guru is necessary. It's a little different subject from what we have usually talked about, but I thought it will be interesting.
This concludes this segment of Impact with Dr. Anil Mehta. Join us again next time.